Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
Thursday night, that means one thing, Buccaneers fans. You, one-on-one with number five. Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show. I'm pretty sure that five can morph into an S on his chest. Pretty soon in the fourth quarter, we're probably going to get used to seeing this guy wear a little blue cape coming off the bench. And if you're not already starting to fall for this guy and start to realize that he really has the potential and really, really looks like he's going to be the real deal, I recommend that you go to NFL.com or Buccaneers.com. Heck, go to Buccaneers.com. And what will happen is the front page will load a I think it's a cool deal for you from Pizza Hut or something. If you want that, of course, click on it. If not, go to Buccaneers.com at the bottom of the page. What happens when Buccaneers.com loads is there'll be about a two and a half minute video there that NFL Films put together. Okay, I actually saw this originally in its full presentation on Showtime, of course, that now carries Inside the NFL. Remember, HBO used to have it. Well, now Showtime has Inside the NFL. And it seems that, you know, our young quarterback, and as he scarfs down some food next to me in a second, kind of regenerate himself, is starting to get noticed by the national media. So that's what happens. That's when NFL Films says, hey, can we send a camera crew out to your game? And do you mind if we mic, you know, put a microphone, hidden microphone on, you know, this player or that player? Well, you know, they went to Raheem Morris and they went to Josh Freeman. So little did any of us know, and usually you don't find this out. I don't know whether it's not talked about, like so-and-so is going to be mic'd. You hear about it once in a while, but you usually hear about it after the fact. You usually hear it about, like, on a Tuesday, is sure enough when I started to realize, hey, I didn't realize they mic'd these guys. Well, they put together the presentation, and, of course, that has a lot to do with what we're going to talk to Josh about in a couple of minutes here, is the comeback. And, you know, we'll get to that, too. Five comebacks out of 15 ball games. You know, that's not bad. He's got a passer rating over 90 in the fourth quarter. We'll get to all that. But what I did was I sent this link via my Facebook page. By the way, I'm sure the Buccaneers Facebook page has it as well, if they haven't already put it out there in the cyberspace. But it's the kind of video that really, when I see it, when I watched it, really reminded me of some of the NFL film stuff I saw back when we were looking at Brooksy or Rondé in his early years. Or you just saw this great intensity. And remember why we love football? NFL films, the old school NFL films where they actually use film and Steve Sable would narrate them. And was it Charlie Callis would come in, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The kind of stuff that used to really get you pumped up for football. NFL Films put it to, what was it, two and a half minutes, maybe even 3 minutes at tops, a piece together that if you are a Buck fan, if you're sitting on the bench as a Buck fan, you're straddling the fence, you got issues with owners, you got issues with a coach, you're mad about this, you're angry because they cut a player 2 years ago, whatever your issues are with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I recommend you watch that 2.5 minute video. And what you're going to see, what you're going to see is the same intensity and spark from your coach and from this guy that really, I got to tell you, dude, have you seen that video?
I haven't.
Well, let me tell you, I just gave you a big talk up. So It's I didn't know you were mic'd.
Yeah, I was actually, I didn't want to be mic'd, you know. I mean, not that I'm afraid that I'm going to say something that could potentially be embarrassing, but, you know, it's just one more thing to think about. And I was,
sure.
I was kind of like, man, I don't really want to be mic'd.
Well, they'll bleep that out.
Yeah.
They bleep it out.
Yeah, but no, you really forgot it. You get so lost in the game that you don't realize you have it on.
Well, the thing I was telling everybody while you were getting a drink there was I didn't know Raheem, your head coach, was so animated on the sidelines. Because we're up in the box. I'm sure some of our sound people can pick up on conversations. TJ Reeves, who goes up and down the sidelines, certainly. He's kind of our ear down there, if you will. But we can't really see too much of Raheem. You know, most of the time when the headpiece is going on, I'm thinking he's talking to coaches or he's just talking to himself.
And he is most of the time talking to coaches.
Well, they got him mic'd, and he just works the referees like a pro.
Yeah.
Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's awesome. You know, he's Yeah, he's just extremely passionate. You know, it's not just something that people see when he's talking to the media. I mean, that's how he is. You know, what you see is what you get with Raheem. And I mean, yeah, he's trying to get every call and every opportunity he can to help us win the game.
And I got to tell you, and we'll get to that game. But the piece, the 2.5 minutes, and I'm sure you'll get a chance to see that when you head back home tonight and get on Buccaneers.com. And if it's on NFL.com, by the way, also under soundtracks, and it's titled Young Bucks is what it is. And I think it goes about 3 minutes, and it covers the comeback. You know, now let's go back to the beginning of the game. Slow start.
Yeah.
Not the kind of half of football you guys anticipated at all.
No, not at all.
Frustration. You didn't look frustrated, though. You look kind of like we're going to fix this. And you're determined, not frustrated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's definitely how it was. I mean, we obviously realized that things hadn't gone our way. You know, we expected to go out there and put quite a few points on the St. Louis Rams, but we didn't anticipate having so many penalties, having so many big plays called back like we did. But just the ability to fight back and overcome that, I mean, I think it makes the win that much more special.
Well, I'll tell you, 4-2, I think you've learned. Last year you learned, but some of the younger guys like Mike Williams or Ted Larson, how about Ted Larson, sure, or Eric Lorig playing these rookies that have got 5 games or 3 or 2 games under their belt, realize you got to earn every win in this league. And 4-2 is got to, you know, again, you've already surpassed last year. And I know you guys have loftier goals.
Yeah.
But it's got to feel pretty good in that locker room to know that you guys are united. And, you know, you got the swagger. And the fourth quarter comebacks, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. You know, it means you're trailing. That ain't always good. You know, a nice 21-point lead would be nice, too. Turn around, hand the ball to Blunt and Caddy, and, yeah, and we, you know, go to the chips and dip and just relax. But for a young team, and I was talking EJ Biggers we had last night, and I was like, resilience. You normally don't see resilience in a young football team. Does that reflect? I know it reflects some on you, bro, because we'll talk about you in the huddle, but it starts at the top with your coach.
Yeah, no doubt. And it really started in the off season. You know, it started when Raheem and Mark Dominic took over. They put them in the driver's seat, and I mean, it's about instilling a culture, a train of thought. I mean, mm-hmm. We're unified in our beliefs, and I mean, it's great. I mean, the culture in the locker room is completely different than it was last year. The feeling around everywhere in the building, it's just like, hey, we're determined. We can go out and do this. It might not always be pretty. We know we're going to make some mistakes, but if we can just keep our heads down, keep working, then we'll have an opportunity to win these games.
I'm going to give these numbers out. You guys can get on the phone. Remember, this show is about you and your quarterback. I can talk to him Monday through Friday right here in the locker room. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Or toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. You know, now we fast forward to the second half. Tim Crowder makes one of these little quiet plays that gets overlooked sometimes. You know, Rams are about 3rd and 7, 3rd and 11, I think. And if he doesn't make a tackle, first down Rams, there's a good chance they either go in and kick at least a field goal or score or run the clock out. That one play right there hands you the football, 81 yards, after the punt, of course, and I think about 4 minutes on the clock, a little bit more than 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was, just a shade over 4 minutes, and that's plenty of time.
And one of the things you'll see on the video that my friend saw was the conversation you had with your coach. What did he say to you? Do you remember? I bet you don't.
You know, I remember a lot of people were saying a lot of things to me, man.
Well, I'm going to have to walk you through your own memory of the game, huh?
Probably, I probably know the gist of it. Yeah. But,
He basically said, I need 7, number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. As in, hey, we don't, if field goal ain't going to do it, we got to get 7. And you said, okay. That's all you did. You said, okay, turn around, ran onto the field. So, several big plays in that drive. Even fought, I'm not sure which penalty it was. We're not going to put fingers.
It was, the James Lee kind of.
The infamous late hit, which was borderline piling on a thing.
More like a late hug.
Yeah.
You know?
He was leaned on him with his shoulder. But, man, that ref was right there and threw the flag, and we all kind of went, oh, you know, stubbing your toe. But, you know, I guess that's just another to you guys, to the fans, it's frustrating to see the yellow flag. You really don't want refs determining games. But to you guys, it's like, hey, I can't sit around and worry about this penalty now. It's just like recovery. Yeah. You know, if you what happens if you pitch the ball and you lose 9 yards, or if you lose 10 yards on a penalty? It's just something else you have to overcome.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, it's not just frustrating to the fans. You know, I mean, there was a point in that game where I mean I wanted to take every yellow flag that those refs had, and
you're going to see that in the video.
Yeah, man, it was getting to a point where it was everybody was a bit exasperated. I mean, it was to a point where you're like, come on, seriously?
Yeah, there was 11 total for the team.
But, I mean, at that point in the game, the last penalty, I mean, we just had a decent run by LeGarrette. We'd be set up with, I think, a second and six, second and five.
Go ahead.
And we get the penalty, and they march us back, and I think it set us up with second and 22, maybe.
Second and 25.
Second
after James Lee.
Second and 25. Jeez. Yep. But, yeah, we were set up with second and 25, and, I mean, nobody blinked. Nobody at all. I mean, we walked in the huddle.
Your coach says that all the time, you know.
Yeah?
Don't blink.
We don't. Yeah. But no, we walked back to the huddle, and, I mean, everybody was just ready to go. Wanted to play, wanted to go out and get it back. And my thought process and mentality as a quarterback is, all right, you have a first down and 25 in a normal situation in the game.
Sure.
All you got to do is keep hacking away at this thing and chopping it down. I can't remember who the next pass was completed to.
Mike Williams for 9 yards.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got one to Mike. He got a pretty nice gain.
That's like a third and 14.
Yeah. And then next one, I dropped it off to Sammy.
Mm-hmm. 11 more yards right there.
And Sammy set us up in that nice, what was it, fourth and three?
Fourth and three. There you go.
Yeah, yep. Fourth and three. And, you know, it was a situation where they had seen weeks before us not be able to exploit the all-out blitz, so they lined up and said, "Hey, we're gonna run the all-out blitz." But I mean, what they didn't know is that we feel very confident against the all-out blitz. It's just a matter of us pitching and catching, and
sure,
Kellen Winslow
recognition,
yeah,
and then
that's where it all
execution
starts, no doubt.
Yep.
And Kellen, I mean, he did a good job setting up the safety and giving him a nice move, getting outside and put it on him first down.
And then you threw a ball to Spurlock.
There was some
contact on that play.
Yeah. You know, I thought we had a touchdown.
Yeah, so
you know? I mean, he had the guy beat, threw it to him. He was unable to really get up because the guy kind of fell into him. I don't know. They probably marked it down as unintentional, you mm-hmm. know. But, I mean, it happened. They obviously didn't throw a flag, so we got to move on.
But that's the bummer, though. Now you hit Winslow. Actually, you overthrew Kellen in the end zone. Right, I think it was right down the center of the
field.
Yeah,
man.
And that hit his hands. Yeah. He was kind of falling back.
Yeah, that would have been a spectacular catch. I mean, I'd like to say 9 times out of 10, Kellen makes that catch.
Sure.
But the defender was in good position and made a good play on the ball. So, I mean, we got to move on.
But then, here's your problem now. Now you got a 3rd and 10. Though you're in 4 down territory, true.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in 4 down territory.
With the timeout. So,
tell us what Mike Williams was running and the coverage he had, and then explain how he just turned that into a wonderful play.
Mike was just running a hitch.
Yeah, just a...
Yeah, I mean, the thought there, we'd been seeing a lot of cover two, and we knew on 3rd and long that they'd played halves to one side and quarters with a way off corner on the other side. So Coach Olson dialed up a great, great play, double right, two jet, both smash. And at first when the play came in, I was kind of like, what if they happen to press on the outside? We might
be thrown into coverage.
Yeah, our options are kind of limited. I was thinking, okay, either Mike's there, alert Sammy, and then right back to Cadillac, see if he can
check it
get
down.
Some yards.
Sure.
Yeah. So I get the snap. DB's bailed out. I put it on Mike, and I'm just like, okay, Mike, get out of bounds. We'll be 4th and probably 1 or 2. And
he had other plans.
Yeah, he definitely had other plans. And, I mean, you got to love the guy, man. He went and got it for us, got down to the 1. And, yeah, it was a very, very big play in the game for us.
Big time awareness. He knew in his post-game interview, he even said to TJ, I knew we had a timeout.
Yeah.
That means, you know, he's aware. It's kind of like a shortstop. I got a guy in first. The ball's hit to me. 2 outs. What am I doing? Well, you got to know where you are in the game at any given time so you can make that kind of play. He steps up. And, you know, that's when you see the athleticism because he had 3 guys around him, but he knew that they were going to be guarding that sideline. They figured he'd be going that way anyway.
Yeah.
And he used that against them. And we've seen him in the Carolina game take a pass.
Same thing.
And do the same exact thing with it and run over people. and get in the end zone, and he came 1 yard shy. So I think it was your coach that did about an awesome 40-yard sprint down the sideline.
Yeah.
To call timeout. Or was it you?
No. I was trying to get everybody back composed, get on the ball, spike it.
Yeah, we're looking at 17 seconds.
Yeah, so we'll have the option to run the ball still. But, it can play out either way. Calling the timeout allowed us to regain our composure, get back in the huddle, talk to the coach, talk about our plan, what we wanted to do, and it worked out. I mean, the first play, I really thought we had Mike for the touchdown, and it was once again an all-out blitz. The guy got a hand on the ball and got deflected, and it would have been a really difficult catch. Not to mention, the defensive back was the best coverage you can possibly have without getting a flag thrown.
All right, we're going to give out these numbers, and we're going to hit the play to Cadillac when we come back and discuss how wonderful it was to, yes, win another one with seconds left on the clock. You're going to turn that 5 into an S. Slowly, it'll morph.
I don't know about all that.
Good. We don't need you pretending you're Shaq. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's the Josh Freeman Show. Get on the phones, guys. We're coming back to talk to you right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
Kellen Winslow lines up as a tight end to the right side of the formation. Shotgun, one receiver's left with Williams wide and Starter in the slot. Here's the snap. Here comes pressure. Freeman rolling right, rolling right, rolling right, rolling right. Throws it toward the end zone. Gone! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! It's caught by Cadillac Williams in the Bucs lead with 10 seconds left. There are no flags on the field, and Freeman, remarkably outrunning pressure, finding a receiver, threading a needle, and we lead 18-17.
There it is. That's from the booth. When you listen to Bucs radio, you think Gene Deckerhoff, because they're basically one and the same. But take us into the huddle, I thought I saw them blitz from that side, didn't they? Didn't they kind of push you to the right side with their blitz?
Yeah. And it was... It's actually a protection where everybody was going out. We call it a scat protection where you basically just have the five of the linemen blocking. And they brought an all-out blitz, which means they're bringing usually one more than you can pick up. But they ended up bringing six, which is one more. But instead of bringing the whole D-line and one guy and two linebackers, they brought three linebackers and dropped the D-lineman onto Cadillac.
Was that long?
Yeah, that was Chris Long.
That was long.
Yeah.
And he was having a good day.
Yeah. I mean, he gets after it pretty good. I mean, our guys did a good job containing him, I guess. So, it was one of those things where we didn't really have a good hot on that play either. If you remember the play we scored on the New Orleans game, where I kind of drifted back, and lobbed it up to Michael Spurlock.
Yes.
It was a very similar concept, and... I mean, this time they had the hard inside leverage corners man-to-man, and it would have been really difficult to get that same throw to Spurlock. So I was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to turn this thing into a scramble drill. My initial thought a few weeks ago, I was watching the Patriots game, and Tom Brady hit Deion Branch on that play where he's coming across the middle and turns around and catches it wide open in the corner of the end zone. I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to get out here, and Spurlock's going to turn it around. I'm going to hit him for an easy touchdown. And the corner did a good job, covered him really well.
Wouldn't let him back out.
Yeah. And Cadillac's got a route that's towards the middle of the field. And, he saw me scrambling, and he took off on a dead sprint. Long kind of fell off him, but a linebacker was still kind of running in the throwing lane. And all I saw was Lack's hand just kind of peep, and I just cut it through it as hard as I could and happened to – hit him in the chest, and he made a great catch.
Well, so, I was just talking with one of the sports writers downstairs. You didn't happen to hit him in the chest. You were scrambling right. You had four guys in your face. You threw a ball dead on to a guy running full speed, and neither he didn't have to jump. He didn't have to dive. The ball hit him right in the numbers. Okay, so, believe me, doing that on a consistent basis is a skill. It's not you just happen to hit him. Okay.
All right.
How is this feeling? You're starting to get into national media. You're getting more radio interviews, and you're out there, and you had to expect this. I'm sure that the people around $1, you know, are going to give you a great idea of what it like is what it's like when you get more and more attention. And, you know, your 4-2 football team now, the word I'm getting to is pressure. Because when you're coming up and you don't expect anything, or if you're coming off the bench, you know, some of the starter goes down, there are no expectations. So as the pressure is going to build in your career, what do you fall back on, and what guidelines do you do to handle that? Because you're going to be feeling it more and more.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still the same thing. You know, I really view the national media attention as more of a nuisance throughout the week.
Hey, that's my gig, dude.
No. Well, I mean,
no, no, just
this is the highlight of my week. Trust me. The time we share.
No. That would be dry humor from your quarterback right there.
No, but it's during the week, man. I'm all about my preparation, just intensely focused on that, and I mean working with my teammates, and it's I don't know. It's just one more thing you got to do. That's
sure.
I mean, really not for your benefit, but I mean, I think it's awesome that our team's getting a little more national recognition. But I mean, we got to continue to go out, execute, and find a way to win. You know, that's what it comes down to every week.
And they don't come in at a premium, huh? I mean, you got your first one in the throwback game last year.
Yeah,
that was your first comeback.
Yeah,
that was your very first one. You threw 3 touchdowns in that game. You've got 5 comebacks now. People are, you know, the talk and the articles and stuff are about poise. And that's the next question is, you know, you don't seem rattled. There's no deer in the headlights look. And, you know, let's face it, when you play this game this weekend, that'll be your 16th, and you will have officially played a rookie season. You know, you didn't have any work reps at training camp last year. You basically started playing quarterback when they said you're in. So slow development, rough season last year, and now we're starting to see the development. So the poise is, as a lot of people are saying, is that your upbringing? Is that your quarterback coach? Is that a little bit of everything? What's that?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously, I got to attribute a lot of my success or most of it to my parents. You know, the way I was brought up, the way I was brought up to believe in myself and believe in my abilities. And the other part of it is definitely preparation. You know, there's a sign in our offensive line room that says competence breeds confidence, which basically,
sure.
I mean, if you know what's going on, you know exactly what you're trying to do, you know exactly what your opponent's doing, then, I mean, why not be confident if you know what to expect? And that's really, I mean, the mentality I take into it is, hey, if it comes down to it, man, we gotta find a way to do it. I mean, nobody's scared to lose. I mean, we're all out there trying to make the play to win.
That's a great phrase. That is a great phrase. You know, you don't coach ball games to lose. You go out there as you play to win the game. The famous quote. We're going to go to the phones now. Let's light them up, guys. 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. EJ on deck. We're going to Cougar in Bradenton. What's going on, Cougar?
Not much. I just want to say, Josh Freeman, man, it's an amazing feeling to be able to watch it and go, we're never out of the game, and to have that feeling of, like, this game is not over no matter what, because we have that quarterback that can drive us to that victory. And it's something that I, as a Buccaneer fan, have never felt in my entire life. And it's amazing. And I just want to say, damn, dude, great job.
Hey, Cougar, man, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that because – I mean, a big part of what we're doing is it's for you guys, man. We want to go out and we want to make the Buccaneer community, the Buccaneer fan base, proud of us and proud of what we're doing. I mean, it really is a team effort.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. We're going to EJ. EJ, you're up next.
Hey, Josh, I just wanted to say thanks. You are probably the best quarterback we've had since Doug Williams, if not better. And I want to ask, what do you think of the progress of LeGarrette Blount?
Hey, EJ, man, thanks a lot, man. I still have a long ways to go, but I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. I'm working hard. But as far as the progress of LeGarrette Blount, man, every day LeGarrette Blount is getting better. He's getting better with the mental side of the game because, obviously, he didn't have the opportunity to go through the training camp with us and get the reps and learn the offense. So, I mean, he's kind of learning it on the fly and going out and, I mean, just playing his heart out. And but, yeah, he's in there spending hours and hours of extra time studying, trying to learn the protection schemes. So, I mean, he can help our team succeed. And, yeah, he really is a great individual.
First job description for LeGarrette Blount is to keep number five standing upright. And, you know, we don't want to tip our hand saying every time he's running in there, we know they're running the ball. You want the guy to have all the protections down. So when he's in there, you're not like throwing softballs to the defense. You got to keep them guessing. So the more he knows, the less of a liability he is.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, look what happened to Romo the other night. It was a rookie who missed a block.
Yeah.
And he's got a broken clavicle.
Yeah. I mean, that really is rough. And, I mean, with LeGarrette, the great thing about LeGarrette, I think, is he's not afraid to ask a question. I mean, if we're out there and the defense, everybody's running around, and I make the mic point, he's going to say, "Hey, where do you want me to go? Who do I have?" Just, and he's, I mean, not scared to do that. A lot of guys would be like, "All right, I got this." And, but LeGarrette, I mean, he's all about winning, all about being a part of the team, and he's up there working as hard as he can, man. And I mean, I remember the game, they brought a corner blitz. It was on a play. I was able to hit Mike Williams deep in front of our sideline, and they brought a corner blitz, and I was just like, man, I hope LeGarrette sees it. But, I mean, LeGarrette saw it, made a great play, great block, gave me enough time to get the ball off. And, I mean, I think that just shows that he is developing as a pass blocker.
Yeah, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a 250-pound running back. Because some of these linebackers are big, you know, Kareem Huggins, and God bless him, he's not going to be able to play football this year because of the knee injury. But, you know, there's a guy that was maybe a little bit more physically challenged, but, he, you got to learn to sit in there and get your face on people when you're blocking.
I'll tell you something.
Cut blocks once in a while if you're trying to set up a running lane. But most of the time, it's not mentioned in fantasy football leagues. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the glamorous part of being a running back.
But it is, I guess.
But it's essential. It's essential.
Yeah, definitely necessary. I mean, I give those guys all the credit in the world, you know. And, I mean, Kareem Huggins might only be about 210 pounds, but at the same time, he's one of the strongest guys on the team, which, I mean.
That's just
it. It's pretty crazy. And he's unloaded on a few people, and I was like, wow, man, that guy is explosive. But, no, yeah, LeGarrette's definitely doing a good job, and finding a way to get it done, that's what it's all about.
You know, another guy on this team, a real sidetrack, is to really defy the laws of physics is Elbert Mack.
Yeah.
Because he's the smallest guy. Yeah, I mean, there are people in the locker room, you know, carrying towels around that work for the Bucks, you know, that are bigger than him. That guy hits like a train.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just look at it and go, wow.
Yeah. Emac, man, I'm fortunate to get to know Emac. And, I mean, that guy's a warrior, man. He's got the heart of a warrior. He's going to go out and lay it all on the line every play. And, I mean, those are the type of guys you want on your team, man. The type of guy that you know, no matter what the situation, he's going to go out and do everything he can to get it done. And, I mean, I think he's just a great, great teammate.
All right, back to the phones. Jay, you're on deck, and Nick's this time around we're going to Tim. Tim, you're up with Josh Freeman.
Yeah, hey, Josh. I've been to a couple games, the two home games you lost, New Orleans and the Pittsburgh game, and I went to last week's game, and I'm sitting through the first half, and it's looking pretty painful, and I'm thinking there's no way they're going to be able to turn this on. And then, as Raheem said, it was the worst half he's seen. How'd you guys turn it around, and how'd you flick the switch to turn it around last night?
Your defense pits a shutout as well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely started with the defense. I mean, they did a good job of eliminating some of those big plays that were hurting us in the first half. I mean, the second part was just not doing anything different, honestly. I mean, we eliminated the penalties that were stopping us from sustaining drives, and we were able to just get points on the board, you know, and we went to halftime, and what was the score at halftime? 17-3,
17-6? 17-6.
I mean, it's an 11-point ball game. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's not like you're down like 24 points.
Yeah, you just really got to get points. You know, points are the big thing. And, I mean, we wanted a touchdown, obviously, on those first two drives. But, I mean, Connor came through in the clutch for us and knocked down two big field goals, made it a one-possession game. And then the defense. Once again, you're talking about Tim Crowder's big play on third down. He made that play. We got the ball back with plenty of time to do what we like to do, make that thing happen at the end of the game. And, I mean, we got it done. But with that being said, you don't want to make a living in this league just making fourth quarter comebacks,
no,
you know.
No.
the victory formation is a formation that I'm anticipating using a lot
more. That's the best 1 yard loss you'll ever have in your career.
No doubt.
It's when you kneel down at the end of the game. All right, we're going back. We've got Brooks and Dave on deck. We're coming to you guys next. Jay, you're up with Josh Freeman.
Hey, Josh. How are you all doing this afternoon? I was there at the game. Saw you up in the 300s west side cheering for you. Don't know if you can hear us from all the way up there. But my question is, I was wondering if you could let the Fro grow and maybe talk to the Bucks management about having a Freeman Fro giveaway or something.
Oh, like the fake hair for the crowd. I get you. Yeah,
that would be.
We'll go with the rainbow look, like the old guy that used to hold up the John 313 sign over. Yeah, 316. Sorry.
No, I don't know, man. Whatever my hair is doing right now, it seems to be working, you know.
Yeah,
so
don't change nothing.
Yeah,
don't change nothing. Let it grow, man. Let it grow.
All right. I'll let it. Mike Williams, he cut his hair recently, and he was like, man, this is the best thing I ever did. Telling me I need to cut mine. But, I mean, I'm gonna let it keep going. And, yeah, we'll see what we can do. I think that would be pretty sweet, man. Pass out little wigs, have everybody running around looking like me.
A whole bunch of number fives. When you look up, I bet you it would be tough not to laugh when you look up and see your 5,000 of you looking back at you. All right, Dave, you're up next with Josh Freeman. Thanks for the call, Dave.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Dave, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good. The last couple callers ago kind of alluded to it with you guys finishing so strong in the fourth quarter. I wanted to know if there's anything different at the beginning of the game, or maybe why you kind of start out a little slower and finish so strong?
You know, I mean, Sunday, really, we were killing ourselves with the penalties. And we felt like we had a great game plan, I mean, which we did. We were able to move the ball on those guys. But it really, your percentages go way down when you have that number of penalties.
Yeah, well, second and 25.
Yeah.
Holding, first and 15.
Offensive pass interference, holding, false start. Mm-hmm. I mean, really... the first half we did it to ourselves. You know, it's really, really tough to overcome those type of drives when you get put in those long situations. And that's really what happened in the first half. I mean, luckily we were able to get away with a few points. I mean, I feel like we really should have got six points or seven, a touchdown off that first drive. But, you know, they called that pass interference and they called holding. And next thing you know, we're on the 36-yard line. But thankfully we have a good kicker.
Yeah, you almost set the first NFL record for punting on fourth and goal. You remember, that's never been done. It's happened once in a college game, I think.
Yeah, so no, that would not have been good.
Yeah, that was, you know, because the defense, by the way, you know, they've been getting a little bit of grief, not too many sacks, and Styles, G. White gets in there, makes a great play. And Kyle Moore, who just seems to be a fumble recovery machine, jumps on another one. I mean, I think he had two in preseason. He's got two in the regular season. So the guy's around the football. But real quick on that Tim Crowder, that was like old school Buck, man. That's like a D lineman. The play's already 6-7 yards behind him.
Yeah.
You know, the runner's almost into the third level of defense, and he's turning around and hustling, makes a shoestring tackle. That's Buck ball. That's what Buck fans think of Buck ball. We think everybody that, you know, you might not be, you know, your skill level might be a 9 instead of a 10, but your heart and your determination and your hustle doesn't waver from the first play to the last play. So, you know, I really think that those kind of plays, and again, Connor Barth, what can you say about him? I mean, that's the kind of game where you look, oh, they had 4 field goals. I'm like, yeah, but if he misses any one of those things, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Brooks, stand by. We're coming to you next to Hillsboro 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. You guys are, you know, 40% on third down. You're converting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a big...
That's the penalty showing up. That's what that
is. Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys, we're going to come back and finish up the Josh Freeman Show. By the way, no Buccaneers Total Access tomorrow night because the team is flying out west tomorrow. We'll come back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
We're back with the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035.
Oh! Come on, man! Hey, I know I'm big, but come on, man!
So you're on NFL Films now.
Oh, yeah?
As I said, when you see the production piece, if you're a Buck fan, if you haven't seen it, go to Buccaneers.com, NFL.com. It's about 2.5, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes long. Our quarterback right here, Josh Freeman, and head coach Raheem Morris were mic'd up for the Rams game, and they did a wonderful presentation. It was originally on Inside the NFL, which is on Showtime, and it premiered last night, as a matter of fact. I think that's the first time most of us either heard about it, because I'm always perusing the websites and the message boards because Buck fans are starting to – let's put it this way. Show feel a little heavier this week?
No, man.
A couple more people on the bandwagon.
I was actually
– couple more people jumping on.
No, it feels about the same, man.
Okay. Well, I'm noticing it. I notice it because I go somewhere and people go, how about them Bucks, Lynch? How about them Bucks? And they weren't saying that like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So now it's good to see. All right, guys. Almost a full boatload of callers. Got a couple open lines. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. And Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Phil, Sam, stand by. We're coming to you. Brooks in St. Pete. You're up on the Josh Freeman Show. Brooks.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How's it going, Josh?
Hey, what's up, Brooks? How you doing?
Not much, man. Not much. Just getting off work. Don't know if anybody brought... Well, before my question, I just want to say, I've been a season ticket holder since mid-90s, been going to games since I was a kid, born and raised here, and with all the young quarterbacks that are supposed to be the quarterback of the future, it's refreshing to see a guy like you that's come in here you're the real deal. And it's a privilege to get to watch you, grow up with this team and watch you play. It's really a privilege. But my question is, you guys kind of on the fly, unfortunately, with what happened with Jeremy Stephens. We got two tight ends. Winslow, obviously, he's your threat. And Stephens, he catches some balls, but he's kind of more of a blocker, kind of like Gilmore, I guess. But with him gone now, with him gone that quick before the game, how hard of an adjustment was that for you and the offensive line? And what did you guys have to do to remedy that? I guess I'll hang up and listen.
That's a great question. I think your coach was even talking about that, or it was raised in the media.
So. Yeah, it was very unfortunate. But, we looked at it like imagine somebody getting injured, somebody gets injured, say, the first play of the game. They're no longer ready to go. You got to adapt.
Sean Jones with back spasms.
Yeah, yeah.
In comes Savvy Piscatelli.
You got to adapt and overcome. And that's what we did. With the loss of Jeremy Stephens, we only had two tight ends and Kellen and Gilmore. So, we weren't really able to do any of our three tight end stuff. So, I guess the game plan had to be modified slightly. But, at the same time, Coach Olson did a great job of, working around that little issue and finding a way to make things work anyways.
All right, right back to the phones. We're going to Riverview. Sam, appreciate the call, Sam.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Josh, a great privilege to be able to speak with you and indeed watch you play, whether I'm there in person or on television. My question is actually in two sort of sections, though. With all the recent publicity that's going around at all levels of the game about the unfortunate concussions that are being caused by the violent hits with players using their helmets, some of the recent ideas that have been thrown around to improve that situation are connected to what the sport that I played all my life, the sport of rugby, where they're talking about any tackles on a player around the area of the chest or shoulder height should be, in football, a wraparound tackle. I want to get your opinion on what you feel about that is, and obviously the concussions. But my second part of the question is that unless my eyes are playing tricks on me, I certainly can't see it from when I'm sat in the stadium, but I can see it on the television. It looks like you don't wear a gum shield or a mouth guard. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, yeah, you are. You are.
Because especially I think it was against the Panthers where you took that, that cheap shot underneath the chin. Mm-hmm. And mouth guards have been proven to actually help in the prevention of concussion. So I just wanted to ask you, why don't you wear a gum shield?
That's actually a good question.
Yeah, that is a great question. I have to talk too much. I got to communicate too much, and I guess I just view it as more of a hassle, And I guess I have been fortunate knock on wood real quick, I've had a concussion, but it's just how I've always played, even in college, I never wore one, and now, some of the plays I have to spit out, it's really hard to do that with a mouthpiece and or gum shield. And the first question about concussions, it's such a fine line, obviously there are some hits that are really unnecessary for people to hit high. and the wraparound tackles at the chest. But I don't know, man. It's football, you know. Mm-hmm. Guys throwing their bodies around. It's part of the game. But I mean, at the same time, yeah, I definitely think that the wraparound tackle would I guess minimize the amount of concussions and injuries. But
I bet you'll see more torn labrums. You'll see more ripped biceps. You'll see people with elbow injuries.
Yeah.
You know, wrapping up a guy who's falling down from the air.
Yeah.
Takes a lot if you're just using your arms and legs and stuff. I would see more defensive injuries.
Yeah,
you know, not a concussion, but a different type of injury.
I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's still going to be an extremely physical game and played by big, strong men, you know, and it's going to be it's football. Some people are going to get hurt sometimes, you know, but, we're just doing our best to try to play under the new guidelines and not do anything to, I guess, violate that.
You got it. All right. Calvin, you're on deck. We're coming to you next. We're going to Phil in St. Pete. Phil, you're on the Josh Freeman Show. Oh,
hey,
San Diego.
How you doing, Ledge?
Hey, how you doing,
baby?
Yeah, left coaster.
That's right. How you doing, Josh? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. I just want to give you guys a couple compliments because I did watch that video clip on that sound effects, and I have to say, man, it opened up my eyes a little bit about you on the field. And let the guy say, I don't think he's Superman, man. I think he's an incredible Hulk because he changes his voice, man. He sounds totally different on the field.
I know. That's why, because honestly, you're a soft-spoken guy here. You know, we all know that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But there's am I stretching it, Phil, to say that when you watch that video, you're going to see the competitor in Josh?
Absolutely. And hey man, that's the quote of the day, man. Hey man, he says hey man like 15 times on that clip. And I did have to say, Josh, I don't have any more questions for you, but I will be calling you more often just to say what's up. But I have to say, you know what you're doing on that field, and I think the team knows exactly what they got to do to make this a successful season this year. And I have to tell you, my North County bar out here in San Diego, I got to plug it, Jumping Turtle. A lot of fans from other teams are starting to figure you out because I'm real animate when I watch you guys. And
nice.
You know,
very good.
All the bad calls, the penalties. Definitely, I know you guys are going to shore that up. That's uncharacteristic of this team this year. So I just want to say one more thing. Good luck in Arizona. I want that 5-2 real bad, just as much as you guys, I'm sure. And I definitely got a California burrito for you when you show up around here in San Diego, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Phil.
You know, one of the things Phil said that you will see in the video is your head coach reminding the refs that you guys are the least penalized team in the league.
Yeah.
It kind of giggles. He walks right up to him and goes, you do know we're the least penalized team in this league. He goes, and the youngest. He goes, you're killing me. But, yeah, that's, when you were coming in, sitting down, and you were getting a drink there before you opened the microphone up, I was trying to really turn people on the video because when you sit here, you discuss things calmly and stuff, and then it's kind of hard to translate. What's he like in the huddle? And, you know, and NFL soundtracks has always been – it's always been the magic that kind of takes us onto the field. And they do a great job with the presentation, but it's definitely a different side of you. It's not an angry. It's you. It's you playing football. It's pretty intense. It's good to see, man. It's good to see. It is. All right, we're gonna go right back to the phones again. Calvin, appreciate the phone call.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to know what's the difference between you this year and last. You know, sports writers, they're comparing you to Marino, Elway, Montana. It's got to feel great. You know, what do you study? Films? You know, you guys practice more?
You know, it's really just a maturation process. You know, we started in last year. Obviously, I didn't start the first half of the season and came in the second half of the season. Really didn't have a whole off season to get prepared and get ready. And obviously, when you come in as a rookie, you're limited in how you see the field and things you can go out and do. And definitely having the off season to work and the addition of a few guys, I mean, it's really, really helped and I guess sparked my development. And I mean, I mean, you hear, like you said, comparisons to some of the NFL greats. I mean, I'm nowhere near their level yet, but I mean, I'm continuing to work, continuing to try to reach that point.
Some stats real quick. 82% overall with a passer rating. Last game you averaged 80.4 in your passer rating, but again in the fourth quarter your passer rating is 91.3. 91.3. So I want to ask you about checkdowns. I was talking with one of the writers downstairs before I came up to do the show, and I said sometimes a lot, just the easiest thing for a quarterback to start to understand is if you take what the defense is giving you, you can move the chains. In college, you know, it's 12 yards and 20 yards and, and 9 yards. But in the pros, it's like 3, 7, 4, 6.
Yeah.
And, of course, that equates to a higher passer rating because you're going to have a higher completion percentage. You know, the closer the throw, the higher the odds are completing the throw. So, and Cadillac Williams is kind of connected to this. He's got he had eight receptions last game. You're starting to not maybe take the check down quickly, but you're starting to really use it as a weapon, I think. Do you feel that or no?
Yeah, I mean, the check down is it's a huge part. You know, when teams want to drop back and play cover two and take everything else away, you got to go to the check down. You got to go quick because the linebackers are squeezing. And I mean, I really felt like everything, I was seeing everything clearly on Sunday. Especially in the 2 minute drive. I mean, they'd be playing cover two and was able to hit Mike Williams down the middle on a big one. And then, I mean, the exact same coverage, exact same route wasn't there the next time, sure. You know, but it's just understanding where the defenders are and what they're trying to take away from you and what they're giving you, obviously. And yeah, the check downs were huge for us in that final drive. I mean, they kind of just helped us move, you know. When you got the momentum going, completions, that's what it's all about. And
is that rhythm?
Yeah.
It's like a rhythm.
Definitely,
huh?
Definitely. And moving the ball, moving the chains is a huge part of that.
Well, even to play the Ernest, I'm trying to remember, was it the Steeler game or?
Was it?
Yeah, it was the Steeler game.
Yeah, the big run.
That was just the pass out to the flat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know what that supposed 5 yard check down that guy breaks a tackle and gets into the next level of defense, you know, juke someone, make somebody miss. You know, you really can move the sticks more efficiently. With this young, you know, with Mike Williams and Sammy Strotter and you know, Aurelius Ben, I think you guys have, let me see, Sammy's got 16, you got about 16, 30, you know, there's not quite 40 ball games played in the NFL between your offensive weapons. We'll leave Kellen out of this because he's got a little bit of gray under his beard, but what progress, you know, as a unit have you guys made? Do you feel like, you know, what's more comfortable? What's coming quicker? You know, is it?
It really is, I mean, everything. The more you play together, the more you understand what each other does on the field and how they run routes. And, I mean, versus different coverages, you know, it's you start to get more and more, you adapt to each other's likings. And so, I go out there and I drop back and I'm saying, hey, it's cover two. I know Mike Williams is going to flatten this post right off and he's going to make sure he goes underneath the safety because that's what we always practice. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I mean, I throw the ball before Mike's even out of his break and I just know he's coming underneath the safety and he does, makes a catch. So, I mean, it's just little things like that. And obviously, we're just now scratching the surface. I mean, we have a lot of work to go before we can be mentioned among the elite offenses in this league, but I mean that's the direction we're headed, and we want to continue to go out and find a way to win games. I mean that's what it's all about right now.
And then I kind of wanted to, you know, isolate Winslow, if you will. You know, this guy's I don't have the stat right in front of me. I was just peeking at it, but I think he's third in the NFL as far as third down receptions. You know, sometimes you would think defensive coordinators would say, oh, yeah, Freeman's going to look for Winslow in third down. But even when he's covered, you guys are successful. Is that you making great throws, him making freaky catches, combination of the both. But it's just a great – and it's not always third down. I don't want to say that everything he does is third down.
Yeah,
but he
comes up big.
You know, that's the money down, dude. That's the money down.
Yeah, and, he just finds a way to get open. You know, it's hard to explain. I mean, you're going through progression and then – you catch those big white gloves out of the corner of your eye and they're breaking free. And I mean, looking back, I mean, they've been some contested catches. I mean, guys right on them. But
sure.
The thing about Kellen is he's tremendous hands. So, I mean, you give him a high ball with a guy trailing him, he's going to go up and make the catch. And he's been able to do that and do it consistently for us.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the opportunity for this young football team to stay perfect on the road, as a matter of fact. Yeah, the only losses they got this year right here at Raymond James Stadium. We're going to hit the road and go to Arizona, take on the Cardinals. We'll come back and do more of the Josh Friedman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Friedman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, you guys are going to be on the road for 2 weeks in a row. Is that the first time? Yes, first time that's happened this year. You've had a chance now of a couple of days to look at what Ken Wisenhunt and his defensive coordinator like to do. What do you see when you look at the Cardinals?
You see, a lot of experience. You know, they got Joey Porter. You know, they got
follows the Bucks around.
Yeah,
you guys play him every year.
Every year, huh?
I know.
We got Dockett, who's playing great football. I mean, they got Rodgers Cromartie. I mean, who's also playing really good football. You know, you look at their defense, and it's hard to find a weakness. You know,
they beat the Saints.
Yeah, they did. That they did, and it's just gonna. I mean, we're used to playing good defenses, so it's just gonna be a matter of coming out and, like I say every week, executing. You know, we're gonna have to find a way to get some points on the board. And I know our defense is going to come out and play great. I just got a good feeling. I know they're going to come out and do a great job this week. So, I mean, it's going to put the pressure on us as an offense to go out and score more points, you know. I really feel like we have the opportunity to go out this week and put some points up. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And we're working really hard right now to figure out how we're going to do that and trying to tie everything down before we take this road trip.
Well, we've got a dinged up offensive line, so, you know, kudos to the James Lees and the Ted Larsons. I mean, you know, those guys stepped in last week, so whether it's your regular starters, of course, Jeff Fain won't be in there, but maybe True will play. We don't know about Jeremy Trueblood. But say a couple words about the guys who have stepped in, you know?
Yeah, man, I'll start with Ted Larson. I mean, rookie, didn't go through training camp, and he really just came in and played well. I mean, obviously there were some mistakes, but I mean, at the same time, that's his first NFL
like you said,
start.
Don't blink, man.
Yeah,
your turn.
That's his first NFL start, and I mean, we got a lot of confidence, a lot of faith that him and Donald Penn are going to hold down the left side, and I think he knows that we got a lot of confidence in him, and I can't wait for him to go out this week and play great. And you look at the other side, James Lee, another guy who had to come in at the end of the game, and I mean, James, he's going to go get it, you know, regardless. I mean, he's going to play extremely hard. He's gonna bring that mentality. He's going to go out and, I mean, him and Davin are going to, on the right side, man, I haven't seen two guys get after it like that.
Some big boys.
I don't think ever, but, yeah, they're going to get it. And obviously, Zuta in the middle, I mean, he's playing good football, really good football right now. And even though we don't have our normal starting O-line, I mean, I still feel really comfortable back there.
All right, man. Good radio show. Road trip to take care of, and let's get it. Bring it on back here. Well, we'll see you next week. But before you go back out on the road again, but 5-2's got a nice ring to it, man.
Hey, no doubt.
All right, but give us a 21-point lead going into like the third quarter.
Hey,
and then you can take that knee. And you can kneel down. Just, you know, the victory formation.
That's the plan, man. That's the plan.
All right, everybody who called in, we appreciate you. And all Buck fans out there, make sure you go to Buccaneers.com and check out this video we keep talking about in this show. It'll definitely get you pumped up for Buccaneers football. Thanks to Jerry back at the studio, everybody who called. I'm Ledge, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to The Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.